help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, or Take My Father, Please, How to Survive Caring for Aging Parents, urging you to check out all the valuable resources that I have for you on ElderRage.com. I'm your host for Coping with Caregiving, discussing everything you ever wanted to know about elder care, or maybe you never wanted to know about elder care, but were afraid to ask. You know, if you're coping with caregiving right now, or you think it is just about to hit you over the head, let me tell you, this is the show for you. Stay tuned, because I've got three more outstanding guests for you today, so please call your friends, and be sure to let them know they can listen here every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m., that's Pacific time, and let them know they can listen to Coping with Caregiving programs online anytime. My next guest coming up is Suzanne Mintz, the founder of the National Family Caregiver Association.
We have a tropical depression gaining real strength.
The most powerful force on Earth, the hurricane. Responsible for millions of dollars of damage and loss of life every year. The hurricane, a force to be feared, yet we'll look it right in the eye. We are the men and women of the Air Force Reserve, and our world-renowned hurricane hunters go above and beyond, flying directly into nature's most destructive force. We do it to gather the data that makes the difference between safety and disaster. We do it for our communities. We do it for our country. And you can do it too with the Air Force Reserve, because the hurricane hunters are just one of the many exciting careers available with the Air Force Reserve. It may be a part-time job, but it's a full-time experience. Air Force Reserve, above and beyond. For information, call 1-800-257-1212.
Are you a business owner? Does it get a little lonely at the top some days? Are you grappling with decisions you would like to have behind you? Inner Circle of San Diego runs peer groups for business owners who deal with issues like these every day. Inner Circle peer groups provide a safe, helpful place to talk about challenges you can't always talk about elsewhere. With Inner Circle, you have your own personal group of peer advisors, people who understand, people you can respect and trust. We offer you a new way to look at your business and move past the limits of what you thought was possible. Check out our website at www.innercircleofsandiego.com or call 619-295-2899. Our peer groups meet in person in San Diego. For those of you who live elsewhere, we offer Inner Circle Direct, peer groups by phone, the same powerful group support over the phone. Inner Circle Peer Groups, better business, richer life. Join us today.
Are you sick and tired of watered-down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
Welcome back to Coping with Caregiving. I'm your host, Jacqueline Marcel, and I'm the author of Elder Rage. And coming up next, I hope, we're trying to get her on the line, is Suzanne Mintz. She's a family caregiver whose experiences led her to found the National Family Caregiver Association in 1993. NFCA, National Family Caregiver Association, is a grassroots organization that educates, supports, empowers, and speaks up for America's family caregivers across the lifespan, regardless of diagnosis. They have a great website I want you to check out. It's www.nfcacares.org. Suzanne is the author of many articles and educational materials for family caregivers, as well as one just published by Capital Books. It's called Love, Honor, and Value: A Family Caregiver Speaks Out About the Choices and Challenges of Caregiving. I'm honored that I'm going to be speaking on a panel with Suzanne this year at the California Governor's Conference for Women in Long Beach, September 24th. So if you're going to be in the Southern California area, I urge you to come to this incredible conference. It's just a wonderful event. And let's see, we got Suzanne. Suzanne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So tell everybody, why is family caregiving so important in our society?
Because it's going to affect every single family in America. It's not somebody else's problem. It's a problem that we all are going to have to deal with, if, even if we're not dealing with it now.
Yes. And why is it such an issue now? You know, haven't people been taking care of their parents forever? I mean, why is this such a new thing?
Well, of course, people have been, you know, caring for loved ones, you know, ever since the beginning of time. But caregiving hasn't been as complicated and medicalized and as long an issue as it is today. People are living a whole lot longer than they did even at the beginning of the 20th century. There are medical techniques that can be done in the home, and therefore are, where, you know, even just a few years ago, they would have had to been done in the hospital. There are pressures to let people come home from hospitals sooner than they did in the past. Women are working far more than they did in the past, having kids later. So the family structure that was always intact to provide care isn't quite there anymore. People live, you know, in different parts of the country. So there are multiple reasons that are making caregiving today more than was ever imagined in the Ten Commandments or in the marriage vows.
Wow. You know, and tell everybody about Medicare. You know, it seems like it's so unresponsive to the needs of family caregivers. You know, what can we do? Why is that? What's happening?
Well, it is not as responsive as it needs to be in providing care in this day and age. And Medicare was set up in the 1960s for a population that at the time was in its 60s. And dealing with what we would think of as acute care problems for the most part, a broken hip, for instance, or a need for an appendectomy, or
something
specific,
yeah.
Things with a cure.
Uh-huh.
And today, the population that Medicare is dealing with is not only these folks in the 60s, in their 60s, but more and more people who are in their 80s and 90s,
yeah,
who have what are chronic conditions that can't be cured, and they just need a totally different type of medicine. But the system isn't set up to pay for that.
So what's going to happen? What can we do?
Well, you know, I think ideally we have a whole new system of Medicare, but that isn't realistic because it's such a big issue. I think what is necessary is that for the public and the healthcare community to come together and agree on significant core issues that need to be part of any healthcare program that helps the elderly and the disabled, and then begin to work to bring about those changes.
Do you think we're making progress?
I beg your pardon?
Are we making progress?
On Medicare, I don't know that we really are. So many things are Band-Aid approaches, and so we have this, I'm not even quite sure what to call it.
Mm-hmm.
We have this situation that keeps getting more and more complicated because we're trying to fix little pieces of it. And, you know, so one fix goes on top of another fix and complicates an underlying element where, in order for it to make sense for all of us, it needs to be a whole lot more straightforward.
If you were in charge of it, what would you do to make it, you know, magic wand? How, you know, what could be done to make it better? What do you think?
I think that we need to recognize that the care of the chronically ill is radically different than acute care.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's almost as if we need two different approaches.
Mm-hmm.
And that therefore are paid for in different ways. And I think that's the beginning of recognizing what it is we're really dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And the kinds of services that are necessary when you're dealing with people who are chronically ill, which of course is what caregiving families are dealing with, ongoing disability and chronic illness. The social services that one needs and products are an integral part of the care. not strictly health care in the traditional sense.
It's the total package of everything that they need, yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that isn't given a whole lot of attention. We deal with things in silos.
So, well, what do you think the most common concerns for caregivers are, you know, across the whole lifespan? What are the most things that they should be aware of?
Well, I think our most common concerns are the welfare of our loved ones, but that always comes first, comes before our own well-being. And that's been proven to be true for those people who don't think of themselves as family caregivers at all, and for those of us who, you know, you would call advocates for family caregivers, that our loved one's health and well-being is numero uno. And I think that's something that needs to be recognized and honored. And beyond that, the concerns fall into multiple categories. They're financial, they're emotional, mm-hmm. and a lot of them, I'm not sure if I'd call them concerns or issues more, but many of them, you know, get down to the fact that there's little respect for family caregivers, and that seems to me to be at the basis for a whole lot of change. Caregiving isn't mainstream. I think we've come a long way in recognizing the rights of the disabled. The Americans with Disabilities Act obviously has had a huge, huge impact. And so there are many more disabled people in the workforce, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But research has shown that even in those companies where they have elder care programs, only a small percentage of what is perceived to be the caregiving population within that company actually takes advantage of it. People are concerned about the ramifications of speaking up and taking time off and asking for reasonable accommodations.
They tend to want to just tough it out and try, you know, do it on their own. That, you know, I'll have to tell you that kind of happened to me when I was taking care of mom and dad. I was like, I just need to be tougher. I just need to be stronger. I got to buck up. I'll do this, you know. And I didn't start trying to reach out for help as early as I should have, knowing what I know now.
Well, you're not alone in that.
Yeah,
asking for help is a very difficult.
It's a denial thing.
It's a difficult thing for all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we have this John Wayne culture,
yeah,
that I call it, where we're all supposed to be, you know, strong and independent. But caregiving is much more than a one-person job.
Yeah, you know, now with the knowledge I have now, the first day I got there, I would have been in a support group. I would have known exactly where to turn, who to call, what to do, and I wouldn't have tried to even think badly of myself for not being able to do it all by myself, you know?
Well, not knowing where to turn is a significant issue. I mean, we get calls from people all across the United States. We get calls from people who don't have a whole lot of education, and we get calls from people who, you know, are highly educated. We get calls from people who are in the healthcare system. But when it happens to them, they don't, you know, where to turn, because we have such a fractured system of care.
Mm-hmm.
There are some states that are trying to put into effect, you know, single source call centers that could channel you to services within your community, and that's a great it's a great idea. Part of the problem, of course, is that not every community has all of the kinds of services that people need. And not everybody can afford to buy services in the marketplace. We've got this split between those people who we would tend to think of as very low income, and that is what most public programs are designed.
Yes,
those are the people who they're designed to assist.
Yeah.
And if
you're in the middle.
I beg your pardon?
If you're in the middle, if you're not real wealthy and you're not real poor, it's harder.
It's very, very hard. And I think that's an area that we need to pay a whole lot of attention to, because mm-hmm. that, quite frankly, is where the bulk of the population is.
That's right.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't do programs for those who are, you
but
know,
we were a little forgotten.
Total need, obviously. Obviously, we have to, but we need to find ways
right.
to help people who are in the middle, because they are suffering very, very badly.
Well, I refer people to you all the time. Tell everybody about your organization, because it's so great.
Thank you so much. NSCA, well, first of all, I am a family caregiver.
Yes.
And it was my own experiences and those of a friend who was caring for her mom who had Parkinson's. I care for my husband who has MS.
Mm-hmm.
We came to realize that although our circumstances were so radically different, she and I were feeling a lot of the same emotions, dealing with a lot of the same problems. And so NSCA was created to educate, support, empower, and speak up for family caregivers, regardless of who they were caring for, regardless of age, and regardless of the loved one's diagnosis. So we focus on common issues of family caregivers. And we are trying to build a sense of self-esteem and a sense of capability, and therefore a sense of empowerment, which is a very overused term, but nevertheless it's the one that works best.
Mm-hmm.
So that family caregivers feel they have the right to more services and answers to their questions, and have more capability to actually go out and do that, to stand up for themselves and their loved ones.
Right. You know, your book is great. I want you to share some of the wonderful coping strategies that you have.
Well, they're based on an underlying philosophy that we need to take charge of our lives, that it is easy sometimes to feel, you know, that we've been done to and that all choices have been taken away and that control is gone. And, of course, we never have total control of anything. But as a family caregiver, it is important to try and regain a sense of control. And we can do that in multiple ways. We can do it by planning, so that not everything comes upon us as a crisis, so that we learn about our loved one's illness, so we learn about what resources there might be
I say,
out there for us.
Plan for the, you know, worst case scenario and then hope the best, but at least you're prepared.
But now, of course, we don't all want to look ahead at what the worst case scenarios
right, everybody's in denial.
Can be, but even if we can plan a bit,
a little bit,
incrementally ahead.
Oh, and oh my gosh, where'd our time go? For heaven's sakes!
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, Suzanne, it's such an honor to have you on.
Thank you so
much. And I'll see you soon at the Governor's Conference.
Yes, I look forward to it.
All right.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for helping. Bye-bye. I'm Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, inviting you to join us here every Saturday, 3 to 5. And don't forget that you can listen to my programs online anytime. Now stay tuned, because we're going to be right back with two more really great guests for you. So please stay tuned to Coping with Caregiving, and I'll talk to you in a minute.
Help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Quant9 Software has specialized in the development of investment software for computerized investors since 1985. The first version of their popular software was a DOS version, and Quant9 has focused on growing right along with technological advances, always on the cutting edge. The program is now known as NAIC, Portfolio Record Keeper. Designed by professional money managers, this software provides investors with extensive investment tracking tools. From investment record keeping and educational tools to tax decision making and preparation, Quant9's NAIC Portfolio Record Keeper provides portfolio management solutions for all investors. At www.quantixsoftware.com. That's www.quantixsoftware.com.